Hi and welcome. This podcast, Life Success Pod with Matt and Nat, was created with the intention to help you create holistic success in every important area of your life. I'm your co-host, Nat, and I'm truly excited to be co-hosting this podcast with my amazing husband, father of our children, and business partner, Matt. With over two decades of experience in mindset, personal development, and the health and wellness industry, both of us have also been personally trained and mentored by the late and legendary Bob Proctor. Having practiced as a naturopath in clinic for almost a decade and working ourselves to create holistic success in our own personal lives, we are both truly excited to support you on your journey to create greater happiness, richer relationships, more fulfillment in your life, vibrant health, and greater abundance and success too. Expect some laughs, some tears as two raw, authentic beings come to you on this journey of life alongside you. We'll share what's worked in creating a richer life for ourselves, what we have learned and applied, and also what hasn't worked. Count on us to give you some practical advice, tools, and tips that you can implement straight away with every single episode. So get ready, buckle up, and enjoy this journey, my friend. Oh, and if you feel like being a great giver, share this podcast with someone else that you think this may benefit. Hello and welcome to another episode in Life Success Pod. This is Nat and I am joined by my co-host, Matt. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's great to be here. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Well, today we have an interesting topic and by no means am I going to put my hand up and say I'm an expert in this area. But at the same time, there is a lot that we have learned. We've failed a lot. We've learned a lot and we've created success, I believe, in this area too. We're still learning, and that is parenting.
Tone. That's just an interesting topic.
It is. Well, we have spoken before about relationships, and more importantly, in that one, it was with a partner.
Yes.
But today, it's with our children, and I believe it really is a holy encounter. Like our children are mirrors and reflectors and teachers and hold us to a higher standard if that's what we choose to see it as, a beautiful relationship of growth. There's lots of perceptions you can have like that don't serve us. Well, they're dependent on me. They need me for everything. Or what if it's about growing together? You know, how do you see this relationship as a parent? What perception do you really have about it? Like, do you see it as a positive thing? Do you see it as a laborious thing? Like, what's your attitude towards parenting?
Yeah, I think I don't see it as being laborious. I think parenting is definitely a lot of work. I think parenting is a great opportunity for growth because as your child grows and changes, well, then it forces you to grow and change as well. For me, I'll speak for myself, as I, you know, especially with our eldest son, as he grows and changes and hits new milestones and expresses himself in new ways. And like, I have to adapt to that. I have to learn things. I have to learn things about him. I have to learn things about myself. I have to learn things about better ways to parent and different ways of looking at myself, our relationship, the dynamics in our family home. There's so much to it. Now, and then as we have, you know, we have three children. So when it comes to our other two children, I'm sort of a bit more prepared because I've experienced and I've grown through our eldest son, but they're uniquely different too, our other two children. So there's other things that I have to learn when it comes to our other two children. So when it comes to parenting for me, it's a process of growth and there's a lot of learning. There's also a little bit of hoop shooting.
I think that a lot of hoop shooting.
Yeah.
Hoop shooting. You're pretty much just kind of failing forward on the way there.
Well, yeah.
In a lot of ways.
I just think there's so many decisions that have to be made that for me and myself, and I know for you as well, like we don't often ask other people for their opinions of what we should do.
That's a big point, actually. Yeah. I don't go to my parents to ask them. And it's not for any other reason other than I have a vision of what I want for our family. And I trust my intuition and obviously we speak about it.
Yeah.
But going to a higher power and trusting our own gut in a way has always led us to this newness, right? We're not repeating patterns.
No, that's right. Like, and I think that's a really important thing is, okay, and I think we might have mentioned that in the last episode about having a vision of what you want to create in that relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you have a vision of what you want to create for your family and for your children, then I think it makes it easier, that little bit easier to make decisions of what you should do.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that's what we've always done. And sometimes I've found myself saying, wow, like it's either going to go really well or it's going to go where it's not, right? But we're not going to know until, you know, it's going to look like a long-term thing.
Absolutely.
Decision. And so from experience, you know, our eldest son is 11, 11 and a half. I feel like all the decisions that we've made so far have really paid off in a great way.
Well, it's interesting. You reminded me of a moment and I'll never forget. You were flying to Canada. You're in the plane. I couldn't contact you. And this incident happened at school where I had this decision to make to choose a new school for Ollie. And Ollie's our eldest, who's 11 at the moment. And I had this decision to make, which school do I choose? And you weren't there. You were going to be gone. And I had to start calling, going to school, speaking to principals. And I literally was asking for guidance. Okay, what is this? Hold an image of the end. I want him to be happy. I want him to be thriving in his schoolwork. I want him to have beautiful friends. So I would ask. This is the power of intention. Ask for what I want and then literally be led. And I ended up going to see a school and I just followed my intuition, the feeling, oh, this feels right. This feels good. Rather than going to what ticks the boxes and doing it intellectually, that's not really how we roll. Mm. We roll through feeling. And that's how we make our decisions, whether that's a soccer club or whether that's a school or whether that's food, anything. It really is about being led with what feels good. And I think when we're drawn from within and we have that courage to trust that feeling, of course, there's a vision, yes, but that's where we get to create something beautiful, you know?
And sometimes, let's just speak about this for a second, because we are sort of talking about decisions right now, but we're still on topic in a way where sometimes you make a decision to do something and it might initially seem like it may not have been the right decision. There might be some point during the journey or the process where you're not sure if it was the right decision.
Yeah.
But there's something in that period where it might be all uncertain, where either you or your child is learning something that they need to learn through that process to help them, you know, move closer towards that vision that you have for your family.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it's also an attitude as well to look for that. An example, today was Oliver's cross country, actually. And I saw him literally going there, cheering his friends on. And some of them were coming right at the end. He did not leave their side. He was literally running alongside them on the sidelines. That school that I took him out of, well, we took him out of, but I had to make that decision on my own because of something that had happened. I now look back and go, wow, he learned that. That school was so about inclusivity. There was no judgment of age. Like bullying really did not exist at that. It was a very small school. And he really learned how to be so compassionate and loving. And that's an attitude. Now I can go and look for the bad. Yeah, there's a lot I can find if I want to. Is that going to make me feel good? No. So why go there? Right. And whether there's a lot of things, that's life anyway, not just parenting, but it is a lens. What are we looking for? And it brings me to another point is in our children, do we look for what they're doing well? Do we look for what's good or are we fault finding? I still catch myself in this trap where I might go into a little bit of a moment or a day or a few hours where I'm just, okay, now you've just pointed out a few things that are not good or thinking about them. What are they doing? What are they thriving in? Where are they kind? Where are they sharing? Because our words are literally being programmed into their subconscious. So if we're saying you're lazy or you're this or you're that or you're selfish, that's going in. And you know what? Enough repetition. They just only need to believe it once. So it's so important that even though we see something, this is what I tend to do. And it's happening
way more often where I will see something that's not the best behavior and I'll say, that's not you. You are kind. I know you are. I've seen you be kind and generous to your brother. That's not who you are. Don't do that. So in a way, I'm not affirming, well, that's who you are. Because it reminds me a little bit of growing up and I heard that. I heard you're lazy. And so after a while, I'm like, oh, I guess that's who I am. You know, I don't believe that to be true now, but it took me a while to change that belief.
Yeah.
So I'd rather help our kids and set them up for success in lots of ways by saying you're healthy. And even if they say, oh, you know, I'm not this or I'm that, like, no, that's just for the moment. It's not who you are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just the behavior.
Absolutely. And they're not their behavior.
No.
It's not who they are.
And I think you touched on something and I want to just expand on it a little bit more because I think for our listeners, this is a really, really important point. Like your environment, the child's environment that they grow up in, plays the biggest part in who they become. And the family home in their early years is that environment.
Yeah.
And so you want to create an environment and just be very, very mindful of, like you're saying, the way you speak to your children, the way you speak around your children, not only to your children, but around your children, whether it's to your friends, whether it's to your partner, because that is all going straight into their subconscious mind. They are literally being programmed in that environment. Okay, there's two ways we get conditioned or programmed. I'm talking about beliefs and habits. And the first way is through genetics. And the second way is through environment.
Yeah.
And we have control over the environment. Mm-hmm. Not always, because sometimes we're in an environment where we don't have control. There might be at a relative's house or a friend's house and there's a lot of things going on that we don't have control of. But at the end of the day, we can still remove ourselves from those environments if they're not conducive to the kind of people that we want our children to become.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's really important that we're very mindful of the environment we're creating, what the kids are watching, listening to, what they're playing on, you know, and sometimes it can be really easy just to put them in front of a screen. If you're really, really busy, you just want to put them in front of a screen. But hang on a second, what are they actually being programmed with now?
Yeah.
Because they're being programmed. Okay. They are being programmed by that TV, that show, whatever it is that they're watching.
How they're talking.
The iPad.
Yeah. Everything. And this was a huge thing we noticed when we were a little bit more loose with screen time. And I mean, it's been a few years now. We don't watch, the news is not on in our house.
It hasn't been on for over 10 years.
Do you reckon 10 years?
No, we haven't.
Well, that's a long time.
Yeah.
We don't listen to it it's funny, the kids automatically, if they're in the car and the radio's on, they just turn it down straight away because we play our own music. Yeah. We're going to listen to our own podcast or something else that's educational. So they're not being inundated with this negativity. I think that is the number one thing to do for a happier, healthier home, not just emotionally, but mentally and physically, because negativity gets expressed in the body as sickness.
Mm.
So the best thing anyone can do is don't listen to it. And if someone goes, oh, but don't you want to know what's going on? What if it's important? If it's that important, I'll find out. Trust me. And the other thing here is screens. So the thing with screens I noticed was, wow, as soon as they got off, it's like a come down. Mm. It was literally like watching a drug addict come down from something. Mm. And it wasn't while they're on the screen. This is the interesting thing. The screen is just a blocker of emotions.
Mm.
So if even the body needs to go to the toilet, you're completely disconnected from it. Body's hungry or you're feeling this emotion, it's like a numbing agent.
Mm.
And so the minute you take it off, all these emotions and connections are happening all at once. It's difficult to process and a child has a tantrum.
Yeah.
And we were dealing with that. We're like, whoa, no more. And it's been a weaning process because someone asked us, what have you done to reduce screens or eliminate them essentially? And the truth is we work on screens. We have a company. We're working on laptops. We record videos, things like that. But we are very clear. We're saying we're providing service or we're learning. So we do allow, like I give an hour on a weekend, like you have some free time, but it's got to be purposeful in some way. And there's no violence.
Mm.
You cannot watch anything like that. Even the movies, I know, because whatever they're watching is going in. If it's silly, if it's lowering their brain cells, no. If it's raising their vibration and empowering, and we used to, if we watched movies that were faith-based movies, that were inspiring, true story movies, that had purpose behind them. We don't even do that anymore.
Mm.
We'd rather now sit without the TV. The TV's out of our lounge, right? And we sit and we have candles and dance and have a cacao and
play the guitar.
Play the guitar or have a bonfire or read a book. Just do something so much more nourishing and soulful. And it's
connecting.
Connecting. It's soulful. Yeah. So it's connecting. And so the screens, it's been in a lot of ways somewhat cold turkey. Like we would just go, nah, that's it. And that's how we roll. The minute we become aware of something, the decision's made. We know there's going to be an effect, but we're prepared.
You know, I think, you know, circling back to that first question you asked me about, you know, my thoughts or perception on parenting and it being laborious, possibly laborious, I think that's the laborious part.
Yeah.
That's where it's hard work. Like, I think it'd be really, really easy to be a parent who just lets their kid do whatever they want.
But initially, now, short term.
Initially.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But it.
Eat what you want, watch what you want, do what you want, short term gain, long term pain.
Yes. But if you're trying to put certain standards and help them become, I guess, raise them as a certain type of person.
Yeah.
In a certain type of way. And they resist that because their friends aren't doing that or their friends are doing something that they're not allowed to do. That can be hard work.
Yeah.
Because they resist.
And you know what? They can feel left out. And I hear that.
Mm.
You know, even after soccer training, it's so beautiful when the parents have a business with slushies. And everyone was going to have one. And I said, no, you just worked out. You put all this effort into all your training to go and have sugar and coloring after training. I don't think so. And it was fascinating because it's not that the guilt doesn't come, because I feel like the doubt comes in too. Am I doing the right thing? Just let him, like this voice, like just let him.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, remember his goal. This boy who's 11 wants to be an elite athlete. I'm taking that very seriously. So I am going to make sure that I'm holding him to that standard, even if he's not in the moment. And so from that, this is what was interesting. At the next games, when they were having Powerade, the manager caught on to how health conscious we are. She got him a coconut water. And you know what? He was drinking that coconut water. And then we bought a bag of apples instead of lollies and treats. And Ollie asked the manager if they could not eat the lollies during the games because he didn't want to have a sugar low during the game. And they didn't. And the mom came up to me and said, wow, that is so inspiring. What's he drinking? Show me. What's his coconut water? He's inspiring them, but it's not by accident. And we have to go through that resistance. And that, like you said, that's the laborious part. It's emotionally taxing. But here's the thing. Then we've got to process that emotion. So that's why we go work out. That's why we do breath work. That's why we go meditate. We go and do fasts or intermittent fasts to challenge our mind. Because we know what they're going through.
Yeah. And this is the thing, like we don't tell them that they have to do something and they're seeing us do the opposite.
Yeah.
So we are leading by example.
That's it. If you want your child to do something, lead.
Mm.
I had another question that was asked, how did we get our children into gratituding?
Mm.
Well, we started gratituding in the mornings when the sun was rising. Ollie would come up and watch us, sit with us. And then we'd ask him, what are you grateful for? It was an introduction, but it starts with us.
And I think it's just been happening for so many years. Before they go to sleep, we just ask them, you know, what are three things you're grateful for? What would you like to thank God for today?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so that just becomes a habit, just becomes the way that they just think it's that's the way it is.
Yeah. And it is. And now that they ask for it. We went camping and they asked for it. You know, it's so beautiful. And now Ollie, he writes it. I've bought a few gratitude journal books for them and some were overwhelming, but he's now fallen in love. It's a 3-minute one. And he has not, I think he may have missed one day in a whole 4 months. He's done so well. And I don't have to tell him anymore. Like it's not even a thing. He loves it. He looks forward to it. And piggybacking off this gratitude topic, someone asked, how do we handle when they're arguing, sibling arguing?
Mm.
That's a big one. And really depends if we're emotionally regulated ourselves as to how we respond. So how would you answer that question?
That's a great question. I think it just depends on the actual situation. I think every situation is different. But if there are siblings arguing, ultimately, like, I always ask my children to ask themselves, like, am I doing the right thing? Am I treating my sibling the way I'd like to be treated? How would you feel if someone was treating you that way? And so I want them to actually self-reflect. So I ask them questions. Mm. So then they can see their own actions for themselves.
Yeah.
And put themselves in their sibling's shoes and, you know, have a bit more empathy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's communicating. It really is. It's about understanding and making them feel heard and seen, number one, and then helping them come up, A, with a solution. And if they can't, giving options. Well, what if you did the cuppy house like this? Or what if you did so suggestions as well? Mm-hmm. So there's a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that I learned, actually, I watched this on Instagram and I started applying it, is if one of the kids has had a little argument and they've come to me sad or upset because someone said something, someone did something, and they're sad, I ask them, how do you feel right now because X, Y, Z happened? Oh, it hurts. I don't feel good. It hurts me. So it's really important we don't do that to others. And that is something that is a lesson in itself. Oh, yeah, let's not say mean things, or let's not hit each other, or whatever it is. But how does that feel? And to be on the receiving end, because then when you know it's what it's like to be on a receiving end, you go, yeah, I don't want to do that. So, yeah, I guess it is about helping them.
To learn through experience.
To learn, yeah, absolutely. And we try to create a safe space, calm, harmonious space as much as we can. And it's all intentional. The energy, the music that's in the home. We can sage the home sometimes, like, hey, clear the energy. Whatever it is, we're open for it. But ultimately, they're watching. They're watching what you're doing as a parent. They're watching as a husband and wife how we're interacting. They're watching when we're affectionate. They're watching how kind we talk about each other behind each other's back. That's them learning how to be a human.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, like, if a child's having a meltdown, the thing that they really need is just for you to be there with them and sit with them and maybe even just give them a hug.
Yeah.
Now, I just think of our kids and, like, if they're having a meltdown, it's like, just give them a hug.
Just hold.
And sometimes they don't want you to come too close, and that's okay. You can respect that too.
Yeah.
But a lot of the time, just a hug will diffuse them. The energy just sort of
need to release something.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I've noticed that when they're going through, we call it a purge, I guess, and something's shifting in the family, maybe paradigms shifting. We all tend to go through some form of purge, and everyone expresses it differently. And sometimes it's go scream in your pillow, like go for it, just do it safely, or go punch that. I literally got a boxing bag for that. Release it.
Yeah.
I ended up using it. So get it out, go for that run, go on that mini tramp is such a great one too. Just jump it off, you know? So there's so many ways to release that emotion. And it's important to not react to tantrums, but understand what's actually happening.
Yeah, look, I think if we are reacting to their tantrum, and if you're raising your voice and yelling, well, they learn from that.
Mm.
So they think if there's something going on that I don't really have control of outside of myself, then I have to yell.
Yeah.
I have to raise my voice. I have to, et cetera, et cetera. So they are learning from the way we respond to what's happening in the environment.
Mm.
Yeah, and this is where we've got to really be mindful, once again, of the environment that we're creating and the part that we are playing in that environment.
Absolutely. And ultimately, words are powerful, but actions teach. And I've just got another question that someone has asked us on food.
Mm-hmm.
Do our kids eat what we eat?
I think you should answer that.
Because I tend to cook most of the time.
Well, I do cook.
No, you do cook. You do. I'm very, very impressed with your cooking now.
Getting better.
Yeah. Actually, I should say the first time you cooked something, we were joking about this at the table. Matt made me scrambled eggs, and literally scrambled eggs. No salt, no pepper, no milk, no cream, no nothing. But we've come a long way.
That was a very long time ago.
It was. That's my growth, you know.
I was still a kid back then.
You were. So when it comes to food, Ollie, like that, they don't tend, you know, I will just say this. Oliver does not love olives, tomatoes, and mushrooms. And so I will add them in after or take his meal, his sauce aside, and then add it into ours. So I don't cook separate meals for the kids. We cook the same meal for all of us, but I am acknowledging that maybe they don't love a certain food. Like, oh, Eli doesn't love eggplant. All right, just take it out. So I'm teaching them to still keep trying things. Like, I'm not just saying, well, that's out of your life forever. Yeah. No, maybe today you feel like it. Yeah. I'm still hopeful, Foley.
Yeah.
Today, the mushrooms, 10 years later. But, you know, I don't actively go and make separate meals. No, because it's unity. You know, and another thing to add is before our meals, we've introduced this probably the last year, maybe, we say grace. And it's a form of self-discipline to not just go and eat. You have to wait for everyone. And the mind's going, no, 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 but you're like, I'm hungry. I'm just, and so you can see Chloe and Eli sometimes like battling, but sometimes they're really good. They wait. And it's a great test of mental strength, but also it's acknowledgement of the effort that went into this meal. And no matter what's gone on, we can have a loving thought and have harmony at the kitchen table.
Yeah, it's been really good.
Yeah, it has. I'm going to leave with one thing though.
Yes.
This is for everybody. Whenever you meet anyone, remember it is a holy encounter. As you see him, you will see yourself. As you treat him, you will treat yourself. As you think of him, you will think of yourself. Never forget this, for in him, you will find yourself or lose yourself.
I love that.
That's with any relationship.
That's so good.
All right. I've loved today. And until next time. Thanks, Matt.
You're welcome.
We hope today's episode inspired you on your journey towards creating greater success and richness in your life. If you would love to receive extra valuable content, be sure to subscribe at our mailing at mattandnatmindset.com. That's mattandnatmindset.com, and receive life-changing emails as well as stay up to date on our upcoming events, both in person and online. If you found this episode valuable in any way, it would really help us on our mission to help more individuals and families heal, grow, and prosper. Spread the love by sharing this with a friend over on social media or text. We welcome you to leave us a comment or review and let us know what you've learned from us so far. Head over to our social media channel at Matt and Nat Mindset. Thank you for listening and supporting our channel. Have a blessed day and remember to treat others from a place of love. This is where the magic of life is lived. Until next time, this is Nat.